الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من ملك زادا وراحلة تبلغه إلى بيت الله ولم يحج فلا عليه أن يموت يهوديا أو نصرانيا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, my young friends, and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. For the past two Fridays, through the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I had mentioned few points with regards to one of the tenets of Islam, pilgrimage Hajj. And I had recited one verse of the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That upon people, there is Hajj and pilgrimage for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for those who have the capability of going to Makkah Mukarrama and performing Hajj. Like I mentioned before, that this verse of the Quran shows the obligation of this act of Hajj. That it is an obligation upon those who are able to go and perform Hajj. What does this mean, that man istata'a ilayhi sabila, who are capable of going to Makkah Mukarrama and performing Hajj? What this means is that a person has enough sources to go from his local place to Makkah Mukarrama and come back. He's able to pay for his flight or whatever conveyance or the way of travel or journey he is undertaking. He's able to pay for all the expenses. He is also able to pay for his accommodation in Makkah Mukarrama for 5 days. And also he is able to pay for his family members back home. If you have these resources, then Hajj is compulsory upon you. My brothers and elders, today, many people have a lot of misconceptions when it comes to Hajj. We have placed a lot of conditions upon ourselves. We have placed a lot of restrictions upon ourselves. And we think that Hajj is not compulsory upon me. Some people think that until my worldly affairs are not done, I cannot go for Hajj, or Hajj is not compulsory upon me. Once this is done, then I will go for Hajj. Once I have my own house, I will go for Hajj. I have few children. Once they get married and I'm absolved of that responsibility, then I will go and perform Hajj. Whereas this has no base in our Sharia. If you have the means to go for Hajj, Hajj is compulsory upon you. Even if someone does not possess cash equivalent to the expenses that he needs for Hajj, but he does possess some gold and silver which equals to that amount, then the fuqaha write that it is compulsory for this person to sell that gold and silver and go and perform that Hajj. Hajj is compulsory upon him. Many times, due to our worldly affairs. Like I said, some people, they feel that once I buy my own house, then I will go for Hajj. This is as if a person is saying that once I buy my own house, then I will start performing my salah. Once I get my sons and daughters married, then I will start to give zakat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has no base in our sharia. And this Hajj, my brothers, it is an obligation of a lifetime. Meaning a person can perform Hajj anytime before he passes away. But it is dislike to postpone and delay this Hajj without any reason. Because no one knows when he's going to pass away. No one knows when he's going to pass away. It is possible that a person intends to go for Hajj after 2 years, 3 years. He doesn't live till that time. So we should perform Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man arada al-hajj falyu'ajjil." If Hajj is compulsory upon you, then perform Hajj as soon as possible. فَلْيُعَجِّلْهُ. And who is he addressing? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressing those people who were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can there be any deficiency in their fikr and concern for the hereafter? Can there be any weakness in concern to carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or something which is considered one of the most important tenets of Islam? Despite that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging the sahaba, "Man arada al-hajj falyu'ajjilhu." So much so that, my brothers, when we go for Hajj, we perform Hajj in Makkah, Mukarramah and Mina. It is a great fortune and sa'adat for a human, for a believer, to go and visit the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the greatest fortune a person can have. But you have a person who does not have the sufficient means to go to Madinah Munawwara, but he only has the means to go Makkah Mukarramah and Mina and come back. Despite that, Hajj is compulsory upon him. He doesn't need to go Madinah Munawwara. Yes, it is a great sa'adat and fortune if a person has the means to go, he should definitely go. A lot of virtues are mentioned of for visiting the blessed grave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also performing salah in Al-Masjid al-Nabwi, like how it comes in the hadith that if a person was to perform 40 salah with jama'ah in Masjid al-Nabwi, insha'Allah al-Aziz, Jannah will be incumbent upon that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely grant him entry into paradise. Great fortune, but if someone does not have the means to go Madinah Munawwara, he doesn't have to. He goes to Makkah Mukarramah, Mina, performs his Hajj, he comes back. Many people, they don't go for Hajj. Why? Because their parents haven't been for Hajj. So they kept saying that, first I need to make my parents do Hajj, then I will go. This is also a misconception. When something is incumbent upon you, you have to carry out that action without worrying about your parents, your children, your wife, anybody else. Many people, they say that I have $12,000, $13,000, I can go for a Hajj, but I'm waiting for another $10,000, $15,000 so I can take my wife with you. This is a misconception. If you pass away, you will be questioned on the Day of Judgment. Then why didn't you perform your Hajj? So let us understand the seriousness of the matter, that Hajj is compulsory. If I have the means to go and perform Hajj, I will go and perform Hajj. And my brothers, like I have mentioned before too, that this journey is a journey of love and ishq. We can only realize after we go and come back. This is why if you study the lives of our pious predecessors, they used to perform Hajj over Hajj, Hajj over Hajj. Like how Imam Shuzab, rahimahullahu ta'ala, says that I had attended the janazah of Ta'us once. And when I reached the gathering, there were a lot of people gathered for his janazah. فَسَمِعْتُهُمْ يَقُولُونَ. So I heard the people saying to the deceased, Ta'us rahimahullahu ta'ala, رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ. May Allah have mercy on you, O Abu Abdurrahman. So I ask few people that how come people are saying this? That may Allah have shower upon this servant of Allah, Abu Abdurrahman. This was his kunya. So someone told me that Hajja Arba'ina Maratan. This person has performed Hajj 40 times. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to say that Nusukani ahabbu ilayya anna likulli wahidin minhuma sha'thun wa safarun. He used to say to his students that there are two things, there are two ibadat and two worships. I wish that each one of them have two elements in it. Sha'thun wa safarun. That a person's condition is such that his hair is disheveled and his physical appearance should be like a poor person. And number two, a person should have a separate journey for each one of them. His student, Aswad rahimahullahu ta'ala, after hearing this from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, upon his death, his students, the students of Aswad say that our teacher had such profound impact of the words of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu upon his heart, that after this statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, our teacher Aswad performed Hajj and Umrah, and he took up journey 80 times. 80 times, 80. Performing Hajj and Umrah. This is how much zeal and passion they had for performing Hajj. Because, my brothers, people who perform Hajj with their heart committed to it, then they can understand the true nature of this journey, the true nature of this ibadah and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Malik bin Dinar rahimahullahu ta'ala, a pious person, he says that once I was going for Hajj and I was accompanied by a few people and there was a youngster with us. Everybody is praying talbiyah, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, labbaik, la sharika laka labbaik. And I see this youngster, he's not praying talbiyah. And this was quite strange for me, so I went up to this youngster and I asked him, how come you're not praying talbiyah, everybody else is praying talbiyah? This youngster said to Malik bin Dinar rahimahullahu ta'ala, that I'm scared that I pray talbiyah. Labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik means I'm here, O Allah. I'm here, O Allah. So he says to Malik bin Dinar that I'm scared that if I pray talbiyah, a voice will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that your presence is not accepted in my court. You're saying labbaik, I'm here, O Allah. I'm scared that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that your presence is not accepted here. Go back. This is why I'm not praying talbiyah. Malik bin Dinar, he was a pious person. He explained to this youngster that no, don't do this. Have hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is that being that when he is angry, you try to please him, he becomes happy. He becomes happy, and once he's happy, he will forgive all your sins. This won't happen. These pious people, because they have the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're able to guide people in the right path. This pious person, Malik bin Dinar, knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite being so unhappy with us, if a person turns to him with a sincere heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala definitely accepts his du'as. Like how a person who was a munafiq, he goes for Hajj, and he is making du'a close to Ka'batullah Sharif, the door of Kaaba. He's holding on to multazam and he's saying, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam, Ya Sanam. He's calling on to idols. O Sanam, O idol, O idol, O idol. And once, by mistake, instead of saying Ya Sanam, he said Ya Samad. Straight away, the pious people who were around him, they heard a voice saying, Labbaik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered. It was a mistake by that person. He was trying to say Ya Sanam. Instead of saying Ya Sanam, mistakenly he said Ya Samad. He called unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala straight away answered him. Say, oh my servant, are you in need of something? Do you need something? So Malik bin Dinar knew. He explained to this youngster that don't do this, pray talbiyah. And then he said, I had not seen this youngster throughout the journey of Hajj. And finally, in Mina, I saw this youngster making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya man tasurruhu ta'at wa la tadurruhu al-ma'asi. Habli ma yasurruk waghfir li ma la yadurruk. Oh, that being that good deeds makes him happy and the disobedience and sins, vices don't harm him. Oh, that being, habli ma yasurruk waghfir li ma la yadurruk. Grant me that which makes you happy, meaning grant me tawfiq to carry out good deeds. Waghfir li ma la yadurruk. And forgive those things which does not harm you, meaning ma'asi, the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a very, very long time, he was so drowned in the ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Hajj, his kafiyat became such that this condition overtook this person and he became so emotional in this ishq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he started to say in his dua that ilahi inna an-nasa qad dhabahu wa taqarrabu ilayk wa laysa li shay'un ataqarrabu bihi ilayk illa nafsi fataqabbalha minni fashahiqa shahqatan fa kharra raki'a. I wish you can understand Arabic. I wish you can understand Arabic what this person is saying. He's saying, ilahi, inna an-nasa qad dhabahu wa taqarrabu bihi ilayk. The people have slaughtered animals and they have come close to you through this action. Wa laysa li shay'un ataqarrabu bihi ilayk siwa nafsi. I don't have anything else to present in your court except my body, except my life. Fataqabbalha minni, accept this body of mine. Fashahiqa shahqatan fakharra raki'a. Straight away, Malakul Maud came, extract his ruh, and he fell unconscious and passed away. This is the journey of ishq. Only that person will experience this, who will go. Ibrahim bin Abdullah al-Khurasani rahimahullah ta'ala says that I went for Hajj with my father. And we saw Harun al-Rashid, the Amirul Mu'min, the Khalifa of the time, making dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَدْ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ وَهُوَ يَرْتَعِدْ وَيَبْكِي فَقَالْ يَا رَبِّ أَنْتَ أَنْتَ وَأَنَا أَنَا أَنَا الْأَوَّادُ بِالذَّنْبِ وَأَنْتَ الْأَوَّادُ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ. Harun al-Rashid was saying, he's a king, my brothers. He's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh my Rabb, oh my, ya Rabb, anta ant, you are that Lord which you are. وَأَنَا أَنَا, and I am that weak servant which I am. And he's saying that, أَنَا الْعَوَّادُ بِالذَّمِّ. I know my hasir, I know my level, that I am a weak servant of yours, drowned in your sins. I have nothing else to present in your court. Oh Allah, I am habituated to disobey you. وَأَنْتَ الْعَوَّادُ بِالْمَغْفِرَةِ. But oh Allah, your habit is to forgive people who disobey you. When my father saw this, Ibrahim bin Abdullah al-Khurasani says, when my father saw Harun al-Rashid making dua in this manner, he told me that, oh my young son, look at this. Undur ila jabbari al-ard, kayfa yatadarru ila jabbari al-samai. Look at the king, look at the jabbar of this dunya, how he is beseeching that jabbar, who is the jabbar, who is the king of all the universe. This journey is a journey of love. And what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? That man hajja falam yarfuth walam yafsuq raja'a ka yawmin waladat ummu. That person who goes for hajj, he does not use a vulgar language, he does not say anything immodest, he does not do anything immodest, and he does not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Raja'a ka yawmin waladat ummu. He will return as if his mother has given him birth right now. His book of deeds will be clean of every vice. And Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir says that when these things are mentioned in the hadith that your sins will be forgiven, usually it refers to your minor sins. But he says that when it comes to Hajj, Hajj will forgive your minor sins and your major sins. Minor sins and your major sins. This is why it comes in the hadith that when Haji comes, before he reaches his house, go to him and ask him to make dua of maghfirah for you. Whatever dua he will make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept his dua. Al-Hajj wal-Ummaru wafdullah. In da'awhu ajabahum wa in istaghfaruhu ghafara lahum. That Haji, the pilgrims and the people who go for Umrah, they are the delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they make dua to Allah, Allah accepts their duas. When they ask for forgiveness, Allah pardons their sins. So we should also go and ask forgiveness from such people. So let us all make a firm resolution. If Hajj is compulsory upon us, we will go and perform Hajj. My brothers, it is mentioned in this verse of the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. The Hajj is compulsory upon those who are able to go and perform Hajj. If not, then what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say ahead? That if you don't go and perform Hajj, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anyone. Allah is not in need of anyone. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, that مَنْ مَلَكَ زَادًا وَرَاحِلَةً, the person who is able to go for Hajj, وَلَمْ تُبَلِّغُهُ إِلَى بَيْتِ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يَحُجَّ, but he does not perform Hajj. What's going to happen? فَلَا عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَمُوتَ يَهُودِيًّا أَوْ نَصْرَانِيًّا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not care if this person dies as a Jew or a Christian. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refers to that verse of the Quran, that it is possible that due to omitting this act of Hajj, such nahusat and such evil impact this is going to have on his spiritual life, that this action of omitting Hajj will take him slowly, slowly towards shirk and kufr. And it is possible that before he leaves this world, he goes without iman. So it is a very, very serious matter. If Hajj is failed, then let us make a firm resolution right now that inshallah, next year I will go for Hajj and perform Hajj. Look, Umrah and other optional deeds, they're optional. But when it comes to fara'id, you cannot compromise. And if you have performed your fard Hajj, then you can go for nafal Hajj. There is nothing wrong in performing nafal and optional Hajj. Many people, they feel that if I go for Hajj, then I still have to buy my own house, I still have to buy my own car, I still have to get my children married. Where am I going to get so much money from? So they feel that I'm going to become poor. This poverty, the thinking of poverty or the fear of poverty prevents them from going for Hajj. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَابِعُوا بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ, that keep performing Hajj and Umrah. فَإِنَّهُمَا يَنْفِيَانِ الذُّنُوبَ وَالْفَقْرِ كَمَا يَنْفِي الْكِيرُ خَبَثَ الْحَدِيدِ وَالذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. Because excessive Umrah and Hajj will wipe out your sins and poverty from your life, just as a fire takes away all the filth away from metal, also gold and silver. تَابِعُوا بَيْنَ الْحَجِّ وَالْعُمْرَةِ. But when we are performing nafal Hajj, one thing we need to keep in mind is that we don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't lie. Because sometimes, if you had performed Hajj or Umrah X amount of times, then the government charges you money. When you write in your form that you haven't performed any Umrah, this is a lie. You cannot do that. Because to go and perform Umrah or nafal Hajj is optional. To lie is haram. We need to stay away from all these things. If a person is not able to provide for his family while he's away in his Hajj or Umrah trip, then he should not go. Because to provide for his family is fard, is compulsory. If a person has debt upon him, he owes someone $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, and he's going for Umrah over Umrah. He's going for Umrah every few months. And many people, they have this misconception that after eating away someone else's money, if I do something good, then this sin will be wiped away from my book of deeds. So they try to spend on other people. They try to spend on poor people. They go and perform Umrah, thinking that this good action will take away all the evil that I had in my book of deeds. The fuqaha write that if somebody makes a practice of doing this, there is a fear of this person leaving Islam. And Sufyan al-Thawri gives a very, very good example. That example of this person is like that person who's trying to clean a dirty or impure clothing with urine. Can you purify a cloth with a urine? You cannot do that. Similarly, if you had taken, eaten away someone else's money, give that money back first and then go for nafal umrah and hajj. Or for that matter, even if you have to go for fard hajj, first you need to fulfill the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because on the day of judgment, my brothers, those sins which are related to the huquq and the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they can be forgiven by Allah. But the sins related to the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a very, very serious matter. This is why it is mentioned with regards to shaheed, يُغْفَرُ لِلشَّهِيدِ كُلُّ ذَنْبٍ إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ, that every single sin is forgiven for shaheed, that person who is martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِلَّا الدَّيْنِ, except debt. Debt, if he has debt upon him, then this debt will not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until that creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose haq and whose right is connected to you, he forgives you. So this is a very, very serious thing. So let us go for hajj if hajj is compulsory upon us. If we have performed hajj, then we should go for umrah and hajj, do nafal hajj, nafal umrah, provided that we don't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in other ways. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala.